Gridiron Sticks here. Week 7 in the NFL has two pretty big injuries. Patrick Mahomes and Matt Ryan limping off the field. So I've heard a few estimates on the Mahomes injury in terms of how long he's going to be out. I've heard 3 weeks, I've heard 3 to 6 weeks, and I've heard 8 weeks.
I think 5 is the average. Yeah. And I would stick with it because, I mean, they won the game. So they're not in a dire need for him to come back. And I would try it at least.
I'd say at least give it 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, at the same time, though, I'm not going to lie. Like, that game was close while he was in. Like, the Chiefs really only started to pull away after he got hurt.
Oh, boy.
Because it was
Well, they better hope it only takes 5 weeks.
I know they play the Patriots.
They play the Patriots in exactly 5 weeks from now. But they got Green Bay next week, then Minnesota, then Tennessee, Los Angeles Chargers, and the Raiders.
That's a really tough schedule, Doc.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, they get Green Bay at home, okay? But Rodgers is just coming off an amazing game, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Minnesota, they have an injury of their own.
And Adam Thielen. Yeah.
I don't think Tennessee is going to give him any problems.
No.
Even though it's at Tennessee, but that shouldn't be.
That would probably be the easiest game.
Yeah. The Chargers coming into Kansas City, but that's 3 weeks. That's three games he'll miss. This will be the fourth.
Yeah.
So that is a possibility he comes back, but that really shouldn't even worry them, and neither should Oakland.
Yeah.
Like, they get 4 of the 5 games at home.
Which is
very good for them. Yeah, and then they travel to New England, which is probably when everybody should expect him back.
Yeah.
But
Matt Ryan getting hurt.
That's rock bottom for Atlanta.
Yeah, that's seriously
I mean,
is.
They...
High expectations have not lived up to them whatsoever.
Now, I don't think anybody believed they would beat the Rams.
No.
No matter if the Rams were on a 3-game losing streak or what, but the Rams were just over.
But
they overpowered them.
Not gonna lie, though, like when at the start of the season, you told me Rams playing the Falcons.
Yeah.
That matchup's probably one of the better matchups of the entire season.
But the Rams won by 27.
Yeah.
And Atlanta doesn't look like they know what's going on.
But like we said, like at the beginning of the season, it seemed like Atlanta was going to be good. The Rams are supposed to be good as well.
Mm-hmm.
Both two teams come in. Rams come in on a 3-game losing streak. Falcons coming in.
Who knows?
Who knows what's going on with them?
Yeah.
So, like, neither team was living up to expectations. And then Matt Ryan gets hurt in this game. Atlanta, I mean, last week we said it. This season's done for you. But
they've officially hit rock bottom if their quarterback misses any time.
Yeah. But not only that, but now now you're already looking forward to, okay, let's get the best draft pick possible now. Let's see what we got in what comes up in free agency. Like, we're already looking forward to next season, and the season's not even halfway yet.
No.
Like, it's a
That's very game. Underwhelming. Yeah. And there's already reports today that they're shopping Mohamed Sanu.
Well, there's Dan Quinn should probably be on the hot seat.
I'm pretty sure out of any coach in the NFL, his seat's probably the hottest right now.
Yeah.
And if they continue this, I say probably 8-8's really unrealistic for them at this point.
Honestly, their best record probably is 6-10.
That's even being a little bit generous. I'd say probably 4 wins max. Just the way their defense is playing and the way – and if Matt Ryan misses extended time
– then
yeah.
This 3-13?
Well, Julio Jones has a – 8 days to decide whether or not he wants to stay. Because the way he looked on that sideline yesterday should be scary for Atlanta fans.
Well, since you mentioned...
a trade.
Some trades.
The Rams were the talk of the league last week.
Well, we actually have a little bit of breaking news right
okay.
now. Oakland sends former first-round pick cornerback Jerron Connelly to the Houston Texans for a third-round pick. I mean, that's not, like, a major trade.
That's not huge, but, I mean, it's something.
Yeah.
I didn't expect Oakland to be sellers.
Yeah, so we now have three corners
in the past week.
Yeah.
Leave. Well, two dealing with the Rams. The Rams lose Marcus Peters. Well, they lost Aqib Talib to IR. Yeah. So that started something. Then they, out of the blue, sold Marcus Peters to Baltimore. Yep. When everybody was like, okay, are the Rams like...
Are the Rams going to be sellers now?
Are they going to, you know, full-on sell the team? Not sell the team, but like, are they...
Giving up on the season?
And then, out of the blue, Jalen Ramsey is a Ram.
Yeah. Which is scary.
Yeah. That took the league by storm because you had, I believe, Kansas City and Philly
were probably the two top targets.
The believe teams that were like, okay, we need Ramsey the most, so let's go after him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the Rams start selling corners, and it just gets real confusing. And then, bang, news drops, he's going to the Rams.
Yeah. No, it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, they weren't even believed to be anywhere in the mix.
Yeah.
And, I mean, how do they have – are they going to have the space for him when it comes next, you know, the offseason to sign him?
Well, I mean, you got Marcus Peters off the books now. Maybe do they shop Todd Gurley at some point?
Wow. He only had 41 rushing yards yesterday against a very porous Atlanta defense.
Didn't they draft a running back in this?
They did.
Past draft, so mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they're gonna turn over the tides.
It's pretty hard. Everybody, I mean, Aaron Donald is Aaron Donald.
Yeah,
he's your best player. He's obviously not getting touched, but I don't know if Todd Gurley, like, the offense does have questions, but I don't know if it's him.
So, Aaron Donald obviously is one of the best defenders in the entire league.
Yeah.
But now that he has a good corner, the amount of coverage sacks that he's going to get is going to skyrocket.
Yeah.
Like, this man, what, he put up 20-some sacks?
Or it was close.
Close to 20 sacks?
Yeah.
Well, now you're going to be getting a top-end corner. That's going to be terrifying. Well, the Monday night matchup tonight is the New England Patriots at the New York Jets. Honestly, this could go one of two ways. This could go as the Patriots continue their dominance so far of the season and just steamroll the Jets, or we could have an upset on our hands. And with the Jets being the Patriots.
Sam Darnold looked like he injected something into that offense last week.
Yeah.
That they were really missing. The only thing the Jets have going for them is they're at home. And that's about it.
Yeah.
I really don't give them much of a chance. Now, would I be surprised if this was an upset? No. But that's a little far-fetched at this point.
I mean, it could happen.
Yeah, it could happen, or it could end up 42-3.
Yeah.
You don't know, but...
Well, the Jets have played the Patriots hard, like, year in, year out.
Yeah.
So, it could happen, realistically.
I don't see it.
What's your score prediction for the game?
I'm going to say a moral victory for the Jets by only holding New England to 28, but I don't see New York crossing the 50 more than twice. And I'll say they don't even get points off of one, so I say 28-3.
Wow.
Le'Veon Bell's not going to get going. And Sam Darnold doesn't have any notable people to throw to aside from Robbie Anderson, and that on any other team is
a number three
at best.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm going to say Patriots taking this one. I'm going to give 21-10.
Okay. I also see because, like,
Josh Gordon isn't playing
tonight. And both tight ends.
Yeah.
Well, starting tight ends, I'll say that.
Yeah.
New England's not going to lose this game.
Well, let's move on. Aaron Rodgers had a perfect passer rating, first time in Green Bay history.
Yeah. it was – I saw a graphic this morning, and it was like 1,000 and some games – or no, not 1,000, like 3,000 games the Packers have played in their franchise history, and they've never had a quarterback. When you think, that's kind of surprising when with the likes of, you know, Bart Starr and Brett Favre. Yeah. None of that, and it took Rodgers this long.
Yeah.
And they didn't even have Devontae Adams.
Yeah, seriously.
So, something. The backups are stepping up. That's all I can really say. But congrats to him.
Yeah. This was probably one of the more surprising games of the week. Colts upsetting the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Colts now take the lead in the AFC South, which, if you told me by this point in the year that the Colts were going to be
anywhere
leading the division, yeah, with after the Andrew Luck retirement, I would say you're full of it, because I would have had them as a bottom feeder for sure.
Well, they probably should have been, but.
Well, has Darius Leonard, he had a concussion. Is he even back?
Yeah, he played yesterday. He had the game-sealing interception. That was a very fluky play. Watson overthrows Kiki QT just barely enough that it bounces a few times, and then Leonard comes over and dives on top of the receiver and catches it. It was whack. But congrats to Indy. Yeah. Houston's right on your tail, so I don't see it staying very long.
No, but you have the lead for now.
Yeah.
Roll with it, honestly.
Good game.
Now we have a matchup of two quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks, Kyler Murray versus Daniel Jones.
Let's just say it as it is. Did the Cardinals pick correctly? Huh. As of right now, it looks like they did.
Well, I'm going to say no. Not just – I'm basing it off of not – like, I wish they would have went a different direction instead of quarterback with that first overall pick. But that's just my personal
thoughts. Yeah. I mean, they needed a quarterback badly.
Yeah, but you had Josh Rosen that you drafted the year before at 10.
Yeah, but he really didn't show much. He obviously showed that he was the worst of them picked last year, and because he gave you the first pick. And, I mean, you pick the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, and he outdueled his counterpart. Not really counterpart, but – you know, the second
quarterback taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, congrats to him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Both teams suck. Not going to lie.
Well, Arizona's 3-3-1. They've won three straight. Got to at least give credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
The Giants are 2-5. They're not out of it. I mean, they're only two games back of the Cowboys.
Okay. So, but like, the thing of it is, though, is – yeah, the Cardinals have the better record, but they have a slimmer chance of making the playoffs.
Well, they're also the unlucky team that's in probably the most competitive division.
Outside of maybe the NFC North.
Yeah. But when the top three teams in your division are above 500.
Yeah.
And really, Arizona, if they should have probably beat Detroit in week one. That tie shouldn't have even really be there.
Yeah.
So they should be right there. That division, once they start playing against each other, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
But, no, I think Arizona at least picked – you can say from the game, does everybody – like, I mean, the Giants had Saquon. They had Evan Ingram. They were playing at home. I mean, the game wasn't a blowout, but it was 17-0 at one point.
Yeah.
But – Daniel Jones had more passing yards. That's all I got to say. So.
Yeah, well, let's move on. We already briefly talked about the Falcons being terrible this year. Another team that has really underwhelmed is the Los Angeles Chargers.
Losing again yesterday.
Yeah. At this point, I don't know if I'm the Chargers management. I don't know if I'm giving up on the season yet. Or if I'm hoping, like, do I make a trade? Or do I wait till Derwin's back? Like,
waiting for Derwin is not really exactly an option right now because he's still a week away.
Yeah.
And just say it as it is.
How far back are they?
Well, you think the Chiefs won.
Yeah.
The Raiders lost.
Yeah.
And the Broncos lost.
But I'm not just meaning like in the division. I'm meaning like even a wild card seed. Obviously, you got the Bills as the number one wild card team right now.
Yeah.
With one loss.
Oakland was it coming into the week.
Yeah.
Here, let me just take a check real quick. Now it's Houston.
What's the record?
4-3. Los Angeles. So, Los Angeles is two games back of that.
If you're in that position, what do you do?
Oh, I know what I need to do. You need to...
Trent Williams?
Honestly, well, you need an offensive line, something. But like I was saying, you know, when you sit out training camp and part of the season.
This is mainly targeted at Melvin Gordon.
You want your money. You don't end up getting it. You'll stay for the season.
Yeah.
You'll see what you're going to do. And then you cost your team the game.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's not like, okay, he just didn't try. He tried, but that doesn't look good.
No.
That does not look good whatsoever. Like, he fumbled on the one-inch line.
Okay, but seriously, though, what is the difference between this year's team and last year's team? Last year's team went, what, 11-5, 12-4?
12-4, I think. Because Kansas City was 13-3.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And then you have this.
It's not one person. You can't blame Derwin James being out to be the whole season.
Yeah.
Phillip's a year older. They both running backs are – I mean, Austin Eckler's playing heads and shoulders above Melvin Gordon is.
Is it the wide receivers taking a step back?
Well, Keenan Allen.
Last year they didn't have Hunter Henry.
Yeah, they get him back.
Melvin Ingram's out.
The offensive line is complete garbage, and that's injuries to that because their starting center might never play a down of football again, and Mike Pouncey. So you have to shift everything on the line. You have a guard playing center.
Yeah.
You have a guy making his first career couple starts who now broke his ankle yesterday and will miss the remainder of the season. So it just keeps getting more and more. I'm pretty sure Russell Okun, their left tackle, was something's massively wrong with him.
So then if you're the Chargers, are you calling up the Washington Redskins and asking for Trent Williams, or are you going elsewhere to get
– Well, Trent Williams, the thing about that is you're going to need something for it. And you obviously don't want to give up a pick this late in the year because, like, you can already see where everybody's trending.
Unless it's next year's.
Yeah, but Washington's going to want something crazy because, one, they're tanking themselves.
But he hasn't played all year, so.
Yeah, but then again, if they lose him, like, are they really?
He's just going to walk in free agency. Yeah. So.
But he's also older. So, like, they really. They're seeing it, but they're going to try to get the max amount of return. Your main trade piece is, like, I mean, you can say Melvin Gordon's a trade piece, but they don't need a running back.
No.
They stink, but that's the one position they don't need.
Well, you have Darius. I mean, potentially, because you had Darius guys getting back-to-back years of injuries.
Chris Thompson and Adrian Peterson. I mean, they're playing decently enough, but, yeah, but I don't think you want to add another running back to
Adrian
that.
Adrian Peterson's older.
Yeah.
They got Bryce Love in this past year's draft.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
But if you trade for him, you're going to also want the expectation that
he's going to sign.
He's going to re-sign, and you don't need that if you have Geis, who might be healthy, might not be, and you don't want to take the chance that he is, and then you let him go.
Yeah.
I don't know. You might just need to. The Chargers might just need to blow it up. Not completely, but they need to give.
Or just retool.
They need to get an offensive line, like, soon.
Well, let's go back. Let's do our thing that we started last week. Overreaction, not overreaction. First question, is Breeze a system QB?
Now, see, this this might come as a surprise to most people, but like I saw it earlier today, and to be honest, now I'm not saying he's been a system QB his whole career, but after they won the Super Bowl, they hadn't really been, you know, he's been always himself, getting, you know, 5,000 yards every so many years. But they really kind of took a step back in between then and, like, a few years ago when they started re-clicking. Because they had a few years of 8-8, 7-9, yeah, what have you. But Teddy Bridgewater goes in and is 5-0.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that defense is pretty decent. And they didn't have Alvin Kamara yesterday, but they played against the Bears, who
have a defense
yeah, but don't have an offense. So if you get that defense on the field enough times, they're going to get tired. Maybe.
I'm for me, this is simple. This is a
overreaction.
Yeah. Majorly. Like, people disrespect Teddy Bridgewater greatly.
Yeah.
I know, like, he's technically considered a backup QB and whatnot, but when he was with Minnesota, he wasn't that bad. He did.
No, I mean, he's a capable starter.
Yeah.
He's honestly the best backup quarterback probably in the league, because he's able to start, you know.
When he was in Minnesota, the thing with him, from what I remember, was he wasn't able to throw the long ball.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that I remember.
Well, Minnesota could sure use that now.
But he's still good. He's good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, okay, they played the Bears. But when we looked at the schedule for how long Breeze was going to be out.
Yeah, it was like one of our first episodes, and we both sat here and said they might be barely eclipsing 500 by the time he comes back.
Yeah.
And now we're sitting here and they're 6-1.
But at the same time, though, Bridgewater has proven that he's still good.
Yeah.
Why
do you think he stayed? Because he accepted a deal in Miami and then backed out of it.
Yeah.
So, and now they're sitting pretty at second best in the NFC.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think Breeze is a system quarterback.
I mean, we'll see when he comes back, but like, if they win next week, or, you know, if they keep winning with Bridgewater and Breeze just stays on the sideline, do you keep the hot hand? I mean, my gosh, they could be.
You can't possibly tell me that you would keep Teddy Bridgewater in over Drew
if
Breeze.
Drew Breeze is there. Well, okay, Breeze is on his last leg, so he kind of needs to get in there. And this might be, honestly, their best chance to win the Super Bowl. I mean, last year they were a horrible call away from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. Well, right. I mean, like, before we get off this topic, I want to see who they got. Hold on. So, they have Arizona, Atlanta, Tampa, their next three games.
All three of them are going to win.
Exactly. And then they have Carolina. So Carolina's thrown in there.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of Carolina.
Yeah.
Before we go into the other two questions regarding this topic, I heard that potentially that Cam Newton might sit for Kyle Allen.
Well, I've also heard that teams are calling Carolina now because they're saying they're asking about his availability, about Newton's availability.
I mean,
why not? Kyle Allen's hot hand right now. Offense. That team, okay, I'm not saying this is different than what it was with Drew Brees. Okay, they win the first game, a shootout game against Houston, and then the game he gets hurt was against Los Angeles, okay? One, that was in L.A., and that was two, that was before they started struggling.
Yeah.
But New Orleans was more – they were more emotional for that game, so I think that got the best of them. But – with Carolina, their first two games of the year were atrocious.
Yep.
Kyle Allen steps in. They look completely different.
Yeah.
Like, they look like an offense. That's what that team should be. That defense is decent enough. They have Luke Kuechly in the middle of it, quarterbacking the defense. They're capable enough to do that. Yeah. Now, they've had this same defense for a while. I mean, like, when they went to the Super Bowl, Cam obviously produced then, but, like, ever since then,
defense.
He's been he's just gone downhill, and I think he should not request a trade, but maybe look elsewhere, but be full on okay with it if your team's looking to trade you.
Where would be a suitor, though?
Okay, not a necessary suitor, but you look at teams that, okay, he's not going to go to a tanking team, okay?
Minnesota?
No. Minnesota doesn't come in and just trade for a quarterback after they paid Kirk Cousins that much money. There's one simple answer, and okay, maybe not one, but the best case scenario for him is maybe Chicago.
I was going to say Chicago.
You have a defense. You have a championship-level defense with Mitch Trubisky, who there might be one quarterback this year that's looked worse, aside from the two in Miami, that have looked worse than Cam Newton, and that's Mitchell Trubisky.
I mean, you got Jameis Winston.
Okay, but, like, Winston beat Cam Newton.
And Mariota.
There's not a surprise there.
Yeah.
Like, we've known this. Now, Trubisky was picked, like Mariota, second overall. Okay? Yeah. Ahead, but see, the thing is who was Mariota taken before? Okay, Winston was taken before him. Who was after in that draft? Can you even remember a single person that was from that draft? Okay, well, you know who Trubisky was picked in front of? Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Chicago should be kicking themselves every time they see those two go at it. Like last week when those two teams played each other, Chicago's like, oh my gosh, you know.
What could have been?
Well, look at Watson. He has a capable enough defense.
Okay, but at the same time, though, like, yeah, I know Trubisky has played bad. But for me, you really only have two threats on the offense, in Allen Robinson and Tariq Cohen.
Okay, but now you have you lost a three-down back in Howard, but you gained one in Montgomery.
Which you haven't utilized him that well.
No.
You haven't utilized Cohen that well.
But let's just see. All right. Now, granted, he did miss a game or two, Trubisky.
Yeah.
Okay. He has five games played. He's attempted 160 passes. He's completed 103 of them. That's 64%. Okay, that's not bad.
That's decent enough.
Okay. He's thrown for 839 yards on 103 attempts. His replacement, Chase Daniel, 426 yards in 44 attempts.
Yeah.
That's over half in less than half the attempts.
Yeah.
He only has two interceptions.
So then are we just talking that they don't trust him throwing the ball down?
No, it's not that they don't trust him. It's just he looks incapable of doing anything.
Because it honestly just seems like he's doing a bunch of checkdowns.
Okay, and also Allen Robinson has more than his next, like, the next two combined.
Yeah.
So, like, they're obviously going to key in on him.
Yeah.
So you got to spread it around.
That's what I mean.
I don't know why Cohen is so – I mean, he has 29 catches with 20 rushes. So he has 49 touches.
That's not enough.
No.
He should have had that by week two or three.
I don't understand what is going – like, David Montgomery has 71 rushing attempts for 231 yards. That's very bad.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get back to it.
But, no, I think, and honestly, what we started on, I don't think Drew Brees is a system quarterback. He's too good for that.
All right, well, the next one, is Lamar Jackson an MVP candidate?
Sad to say, but yeah.
For me, this is a big no.
He went in, like, everybody, not everybody, but yesterday when you saw the game, you would expect, okay, Baltimore's going to come in. Wilson's having an insane season. You know, he hasn't thrown a pick. Now, I know that's not Lamar Jackson's doing. Like, he can't control that. But, like, Wilson's going to eat this Baltimore defense. Okay, you think he's not anything? He has 1,650 passing yards on 136 attempts or on completions.
Yeah.
Along with leading the team in rushing. And combined, he has 14 total touchdowns. Now, granted, five interceptions is a big red light. QBR is only 70.9.
To me, that's not good enough.
That's not great. But, I mean, the team, they're very spread. Like, they have seven receivers over 100 yards. They have three runners, including himself, with over 200 yards. They're the best offense in the league. I mean, they're ranked number one. Yeah. And now, honestly, I know. The MVP usually goes to the quarterback on the best team or one of the top so many. Now, that was him. So he, what, I think it's like 2,200 total yards. I just want to look at the team he beat because I want to look.
Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to give you my take.
All right.
I don't even consider him a top three candidate.
Okay.
For me, I have Russell Wilson ahead of him.
Okay.
I have Christian McCaffrey up there.
Yeah.
And then, so obviously Patrick Mahomes is probably going to be eliminated from contention because he's missing something.
Yeah.
So I'd probably either go Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
As my third option, or I'll have to stick.
So Russell Wilson.
Maybe even Aaron Rodgers.
He's definitely in it now.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to keep him out of it. So Russell Wilson has 1,900 passing yards for 15 touchdowns, the one lone interception with 178 rushing yards. So it's about the same.
Yeah.
But
when comparison,
yeah,
one interception to five interceptions, and then you also have to include the amount of times that Lamar Jackson has fumbled while rushing the ball as well.
Well, he also, the thing is like, Lamar Jackson has five interceptions in seven games, but three of them came against the Steelers in one game. MVPs don't usually have a bad game like that.
Yeah, like you might have like two interceptions in a game.
Two interceptions is acceptable for an MVP, but once you start turning the ball over a mass amount of times, it's just. Yeah.
My point exactly. But,
no, I'm with you with at least the first two. Not in that order because I truly believe McCaffrey means more to.
I think McCaffrey, I'll say this. If Carolina makes the playoffs, McCaffrey is my vote.
Well, I'm going to say this because they had a bye yesterday.
Yeah.
So they're now like a game and a half behind New Orleans, which if Breeze comes back, like we say, I don't think the Saints will lose track of that number one in the division. So I say if Carolina gets the number five seed, which is the first wild card, McCaffrey deserves all the credit.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. most of the credit.
There's no doubt in my mind.
He's different. He's different than all the other running backs in the league because he can run the ball and he's an insane receiver. So
the biggest thing for him is like the reason why he's able to run the ball so well this year is the man went to town this past offseason with the gym.
Yeah. He's completely changed his game. Now, it's really hard for a running back has to have an insane, insane season to even be considered. And that's what's really bad about this award. It's because they really should just they should just rename it to the best quarterback award. Because,
I mean, it's not really that fair.
No.
So far, through six games played, he has 618 yards rushing on 127 attempts, seven touchdowns, and then receiving, he has 305 yards. So he's already close.
Well, how many receiving yards receiving touchdowns does he have?
Two. So he's already got nine touchdowns.
Yeah, through six games.
Six games. And he's almost at 1,000 yards total.
It's pretty good. I mean, now the rushing yards aren't, jumping out at you, but like,
I mean,
the nine total touchdowns through six games is what's the more important stat, and they're 4-2 because of it.
Yeah.
So his production is leading to success.
Yeah.
All right. Sure.
And then the last question for this before we jump into the NHL is Dallas for real again after their big win over the Philadelphia Eagles?
I'll let you take this one first.
No.
No. The answer is no.
They're not.
Philly's beat up.
Yeah. Philly lost to Minnesota last weekend. And, I mean,
their secondary is porous. They had a bunch of major injuries last night.
Dallas, congratulations. Yeah. You're in a really
congratulations, you earned.
Division.
Yeah. You you can win this division at 8-8.
You could win truthfully. This division at 7-9, probably.
Yeah. But yeah, congrats. I can't wait to see when you play somebody like a legit team. Like, you lost to the Jets. This win shouldn't mean the win. This win does not forgive that.
No, not at all.
You play the Giants. You play the Vikings. You know, they play the Vikings. They play the Patriots, the Bills, the Bears, the Rams.
Yeah.
Like, just wait until you get into the heart of your schedule. We'll see. Whew. Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on.
So let's jump into the NHL. We'll kind of keep the overreaction thing going here. We're going to go – so we got seven teams that we're going to discuss real quick.
All right.
We're going to do a little bit of are we thinking they're legit or are we thinking they're not. And then four of those teams we're going to be talking about whether or not they're legit. Three of those teams are struggling that probably should be cup contenders. So let's start off right away. The Buffalo Sabres currently sitting very pretty. I think they're 7-1-1 to start off the season. What's your take? You think they're legit? Their offense is finally here.
Mm-hmm.
Rasmus Dahlin has taken another step. He's taking it to another level this year. Jeff Skinner, Sam Reinhart, Jack Eichel, those three guys, obviously, they're going to produce well. Casey Mittelstadt has 6 points through the first 9 games. He's taken another step. Biggest thing for them so far has been the play of Carter Hutton, who currently leads the league in save percentage. I think it's at like 953 or 964, something astronomically high.
It is. It's at 953.
Yeah. That's unreal and unattainable. I'm sorry, but your best goalie at end of the season's maybe hovering around 930.
Yeah.
So, plus he's older.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll drop down. However, we also got to take in consideration. I think it was either last year or the year before, Buffalo started off 10-0 and then missed the playoffs. So.
Yeah, it's just they need to keep it. Yeah.
Consistency.
Now, what's your take on Olofsson?
Victor Olofsson?
Yeah.
You mean the first player to score, I think it's his first 7 or 8 goals on the power play?
Yeah.
Kid has an amazing slap shot. Wow. He's really just a power play specialist.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you need that. Like, power play is a part of success.
No.
You need to have a good power play percentage. However, the thing of it is, though, is you need to have a good power play, but that power play is only really useful during the regular season. Come playoff time, less penalties being taken, less power play opportunities, all of that.
You need to score on even strength.
Yeah, and he's yet to prove that he can. He's good, but it is what it is. Moving on, this team is the only team that I believe in out of these four that we're going to be mentioning. Colorado Avalanche, are they legit? And simple answer is yes.
They are scary.
They are
a scary, fast team.
The biggest thing with them last season, they didn't have any depth outside the top line.
No, it was pretty obvious.
Now they have depth. And this team is rolling. Tyson Jost looks like a new person. Andre Burakovsky looks amazing. Nazem Kadri's playing well. Obviously, you have MacKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen all playing well. Grubauer has looked good. I mean, their only loss came to Pittsburgh, but it was because...
And that was a self-inflicted wound.
Exactly.
So, if it wasn't for Landeskog being right there and somehow they'd probably still be undefeated.
Yeah. So, for me, the simple answer is yes, they are 1,000% legit.
I don't see this. I don't see them slowing down their pace at all.
I mean, they're eventually going to slow down.
Well, the season's going to catch up to them, but for this kind of start, you're doing pretty well for yourself.
Yeah, they're doing amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Next team. Really, I want to rename this team.
Okay.
But we got the Edmonton Oilers. I really just want to name this team the Edmonton McDavids and Draisaitls.
Yeah.
Because literally that's it. You have those two guys. James Neal's having an amazing year. Already has 9 goals on the year.
9 goals in 9 games.
He had 7 all of last year. 7, and he already has 9.
Mm-hmm.
But you have McDavid. You have Draisaitl. Now, technically, those guys are 2 and 3 in the league in scoring because John Carlson is currently the league leader with 18 points in 10 games. McDavid and Draisaitl have only played 9 games. But still.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you have those two up there, 2 and 3. Yeah. Like,
you have no depth, though.
Yeah.
You literally have no depth whatsoever.
Because it goes 17, 16, 10, 9, 7, 6, 6,
yeah.
3, 2, 2, 1, 1, 1, 1, and it's just
plus,
nothing.
Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen have been playing good enough, if not really good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this team's legit. I mean, McDavid has gone – I think he's gone pointless in his past 2 games.
Okay, but still he has 17.
Yeah.
Like
– but, I mean
– they might just be a fun beginning of the year team and then –
yeah. I mean, once, they're always going to be a fun team because you have Connor McDavid on the team.
Once reality sets in, it's like, okay.
And then Anaheim, the last team that I'm thinking legit, well, potentially could be legit.
No.
I don't think they're legit at all.
No.
I mean, you have John Gibson playing out of his mind right now. And, yeah, you have your scoring going, but you don't have a top scorer. You don't have depth. The only thing you've got going for you is John Gibson.
And how long can he – how many games is he going to play in a year?
I mean, it depends. Can he stay healthy a full season? If he can stay healthy a full season, then he's probably going to be playing – he's probably going to play the most games out of any goalie in the league.
Yeah.
Probably closing around 65, 70 games, which is not okay.
No. Yeah, this – no. You got one guy leading 3 categories, 3 major categories.
Yeah.
And Silverberg.
Yeah.
He leads you in points, goals, and plus minus.
Which, I mean, hey, like, he's having a good performance to start off the year, but at the same time – he's going to slow down. He's not a – I mean, I think his best year might be 70 points, if that, maybe 60 points.
Yeah.
But I don't think – like I said, I only thought one of those teams was actually legit, with that being Colorado. Yeah. Now let's move on to 3 teams that have struggled, or at least have struggled compared to what their expectations have been. Let's start off with the team that's struggling the most.
Okay.
Dallas Stars.
They, oh, wow. They, something's bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Goaltending hasn't really been there. Ben Bishop has not played well. Scoring, Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, Joe Pavelski, Radulov. Like, they've got, the only real shining bright star for that team right now is Roope Hintz. And that's not enough. They need to get their studs going soon, or else this season's a wrap.
Yeah, it's does not look good for them.
Because they, I think they already have like 6 or 7 losses on the season already.
They are.
I think it's like 2-7-1.
I believe that's what it is.
Like, they are struggling heavily right now.
Yeah, they are 2-7-1.
Yeah.
10 games, 5 points.
That
ain't going to cut it.
I mean, do you think they bounce back?
Kind of hope, but they, I think, oh, what did I hear? Are they the second oldest team in the league? That's what look at 2 of your offseason acquisitions, Pavelski and Perry.
Yeah, and Andre Sekera, he's also older.
Too. Yeah, I think they are the second oldest team. I mean, at least from what I heard.
I mean, they might be. I think San Jose might be a little bit older.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they. All right.
Well, moving on to San Jose, another team that has been struggling. Martin Jones, Aaron Dell, they have been playing, at best, we're going to say, is poor. That's being generous to both of them.
Okay.
Just a quick look around, like, some of their stats. Their top guys, top offensive performers are like -6, -7. That's terrible to start off the year. Guys like Timo Meier, He's supposed to be a 30, 35 goal scorer. He's only got 2 goals to start off the season. I don't know. San Jose needs something. They tried bringing in Patrick Marleau to help out.
Yeah, bring back the emotion.
Bring back the boys.
Yeah.
But
that, one last cup run, but yeah, they might not even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, realistically for me, I think they get back on track.
Okay.
I think they make the playoffs.
So you don't think this is the epitome of their season?
No. And then the other team, Tampa Bay Lightning. What a year they had last year.
Yeah.
But, man, they are struggling this year so far. I really don't understand why they're struggling either. They've only added to their core, and their core's only gotten better. I mean, they're obviously going to be a playoff team by the end of the season.
They'll pick it up. They're fine. They're not – that's not something to drought over.
Yeah.
They might just have a slow start to the season. They might just not get the first overall seed in their division.
Yeah, which could be a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, really.
And then, so we're going to talk 2 more things, and then it's going to be a wrap for this one. So, David Pastrnak, okay? Kid's good. Kid's really good. He's got 9 goals in 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
And as me and you looked at earlier, he's projected to score 92 goals this season.
Obviously, that's just goals. That's not points. That's goals.
Obviously, he's not going to hit that.
Right.
But
just to start off the season.
8 games in?
Yeah.
Whew. Wow. And to end this episode on a good note, Brian Boyle, finally no longer free agent, signs a 1-year deal with Florida. I mean, you got to love the man.
Yeah.
Battled leukemia, came back, played. When he scored that goal on, I think it was breast cancer awareness, or it was a cancer night or something. That emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You got to feel for the guy.
Yeah, it's a feel-good story with Brian Boyle. If you don't know what we're talking about, look it up. He's just overall such a great guy. And you love comeback stories. And
oh, yeah.
He's one of the better ones. But, yeah, we'll see you guys next week.